Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are here with the one and only
Kevin Sampson. What's up, Jason?
Hey, how's it going? You are the founder and festival director of the DC Black Film Festival. It's returning August 18th through the 20th. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, I appreciate, you know, this is our annual conversation. I love it. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, yeah. We go all the way back to grad school and we geek out on movies and talked about movies for about 2 hours before we hit record.
Right.
But awesome. Well, before we get into this year's lineup, remind us what year are we in now?
This is the sixth year for the DC Black Film Festival. Jason, one of the things that is really cool about this year is the fact that we're back in person. So, you know, with COVID, we've been off for 2 years, but we're back at the Miracle Theater in Southeast DC. So August 18th through 20th will be our in-person festival. And then if you're not able to make it in person, the 21st through the 26th, we'll have our virtual showcase. So, you know, it's cool. COVID has kind of taught us how to have a hybrid festival. So we're going to have a hybrid festival. I'm really excited about it.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely get down to the Miracle Theater right there on Barracks Row, my old stomping grounds. I love that place. It used to be a church, or no, it was a theater. Then it's a church slash theater now, right?
Yeah, so the church has taken it over in ownership. So they do second run screenings, right, in theater. But I believe that they still host church there. But I mean, COVID did change things up, so it might be a little bit different now.
They have concerts there too. Though every now and then they do get a pretty big name there. So, but anyway, we're here to talk the DC Black Film Festival. Let's go day by day, and we can hit on a couple of the highlights. So it kicks off. Day one is Thursday, August 18th, kicks off with Justice, the Struggle and Triumph. What do we got?
Yeah, so this film block is basically, you know, stories that deal with justice, the struggle to get it, or the triumphs in getting it. And we have a bunch of short films that kind of deal with these topics. One to pay attention to is Meet Me Where I Am. One of the directors, there's three directors in this, is Andre Robert Lee. He has been turning in consistently films that get in each year. So the screeners, you know, go through, and this is like his third year being in the festival. And this film is about a man who had a troubled upbringing. He was in and out of prison a lot. But then now he is going to the University of Utah's Health Intensive Outpatient Clinic and really getting help. And so it's really kind of a cool film that shows that even though, like, we could have made plenty of mistakes in our past, it's never too late to change. So that is the Justice film block.
And then also that night, there's also going to be a feature film that plays after that block, right?
Yes, Black Daddy, the movie. And so, you know, one of the things I think that just in general, in terms of, you know, narratives that we see, a lot of times it can be the absent Black father. But this is a narrative that definitely needs to change, because I myself, even as a father, like, this is one of the most special gifts and jobs that I have on earth. And so this documentary really looks at the point of view of Black dads and showing them actually being involved in their children's lives. So it's a very important documentary that I think people will really enjoy.
Awesome. And shout out to Kevin and his kids. Kevin as a dad doing the thing. All right. So that's day one. Day two, Friday, August 19th. We got a couple different blocks here. Do you want to talk about History You Should Know? That's the one that kicks it off.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, once we get rocking and rolling into the weekend, then it's just back to back, just great film blocks. History You Should Know, particularly there's one, Black Fiddlers, by Eduardo Montes Bradley. And this actually looks at the history of Black fiddler players and how that is something that is still done today. But one thing that I didn't realize until I saw this documentary is that a lot of Black fiddler players during in slavery, during that time period, they would save their money so that they could buy their freedom. So it just really kind of taps into the importance of, you know, Black fiddler playing and keeping that craft going. So that's definitely one to look out for.
Awesome. And then after that, the next block is called From the Web. What do you want to highlight from that?
Well, we know that like you can have Insecure, right? Issa Rae is probably like the big
the poster
story that we always, right, we always talk about. And so From the Web is a block full of web series. And what we do is we show an episode from each web series. But all of these web series, I think you would actually kind of get hooked on. So there's one called Regular Negroes and the episode is Overnight Dishes. And it's really just about these roommates and, you know, the kind of struggle that you have. It's really comical of one roommate wants, you know, all the dishes to be done and clean for the morning when he comes in, and it's like, you know, peaceful state of mind. And the other one is just like, look, sometimes you get tired, you put the dishes in the sink. And so they have this battle. So it's really funny.
Oscar Felix Odd Couple.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. From there, we move on to Fresh Voices. And one of the things I love is just highlighting future filmmakers, right? They're students that are telling these stories. There's a film called Decisions by Sade Sellers. I hope I got that one right. But it's a very interesting film about a guy who basically spends the night with a sex worker, and they both find out and realize that they need one another for more than just that, right? But what's really interesting about it, Jason, I think, is like how we tell this story, right? And so there's these different intriguing plot twists that move along that make this a lot different than kind of, you know, basically it's like a one location shoot, right? But like, how do you create something that's interesting? And I think this film definitely nails that on the head.
Awesome. And that's part of the student filmmaking Fresh Voices block. And then after that, at 5 and 7 p.m., you have a pair, another two more feature films. So tell me about Amal and One Pine at a Time.
Yeah, so Amal is a narrative feature, and this features a woman who wakes up. She's chained to a truck. If you think kind of Saw in the sense of like, how did I get here and how can I get out? It is a very interesting shoot. And again, part of the fun and interesting nature of a one location shoot is how do you keep the story moving forward without becoming boring? And I think they do a really great job with that film in doing that. And then One Pint at a Time, Jason, I don't know about you, but over the time with quarantine, I learned how to homebrew.
And I have not gotten this far as brewing my own stuff, but I have discovered an app called Drizzly, which will bring you delivery beer to your door.
Yes, indeed.
So tell me about One Pint at a Time. I was hoping that was a beer reference.
It is. So, you know, one of the things is that in the craft brew industry, right, it's like a $1 billion industry, but there are Black brewers, and a lot of times we don't really hear about them. So this documentary really does a great job of just showing these Black brewers and what they do, what they go through, and hopefully it'll help to shine a light on kind of their brands as well.
Nice. Let's highlight some Black brewers, not all this pale ale.
I see what you're doing there.
It's the best I can come up with on the fly. All right, cool. And then you wrap up the night, day two, with Making Black Lives Matter Through Film. I think that's a block you have pretty much every year now, and very important one. So what do we got this year in that?
Yeah, so I think what's amazing is with this one, as I've told you in the past, I feel like, you know, filmmakers, we can't always like be the ones that are, you know, leading the protests or the charge, but what we can do is pick up a film camera and make a movie. And I think that this block is really special to me because it helps us to see why Black lives do matter, but through the portraits of the people within. And so we have a plethora of films within that block, but one is Fuel for the Fire, HIV Stigma in the Black Community. This is by Asha Malik, and basically it kind of looks at you know, a woman who is actually living with HIV and how she has been, but also the stigma that comes with it. There's another one that's really good called Jedi Training. And this is from director Drew Hayes. And basically, again, it's kind of talking about rock climbing and how its popularity is soaring. But 99% of the climbing routes in Texas have been established by cis white males. And so this takes a look at a woman named Bree Jameson, who is an avid outdoors woman and mom, and she is plotting her first course. So it's a really interesting documentary. I think a lot of people will enjoy that film block.
Awesome. All right. So that wraps up Friday night. And then day three, the final day, Saturday, August 20th, it starts at 10 a.m. in the morning with the block called The Family Unit. Tell me about that.
Yeah, man. So, you know, we all have family that we're born into, our blood family, and then our chosen family. And so this block really kind of looks at stories within our family units and, you know, what we deal with. There's one called Juvert, which I think is a really fascinating film because of the fact that it's looking at a festival that's held in, I believe it's Trinidad and Tobago. And I had never heard about this festival, but it's a narrative film in which a woman has gone down there. She's serving in the community, but she's supposed to come back to the States. And so it's like the night of Jovert, and she is making this decision as she kind of calls home virtually. And her father has, I believe it's multiple sclerosis. And so you can tell that she's at a crossroads of, if I go back home, then I'm going to help my dad, but I'm likely going to be giving up my dream versus if I stay here. Right. And I think that that's something real that we all deal with, right? Sometimes those family obligations versus pursuing your passion, knowing that either way you choose, it kind of is going to suck, right? And then also, man, there's this amazing short film called Doorless. It's by director Enrica M.H. It came from France, actually. And it's a haunting short film in which a young girl and her mother and sister, they go back home to their grandfather's, who had just had a stroke. And as the story develops, you can tell that there was some abuse that was suffered for the younger girl. And man, dude, it's just such a haunting film, but a really great way of kind of tackling a difficult subject, but I think it's one that happens within families that people just don't talk about. So this is why I love the film festival, man. It's like these great movies that get us talking afterwards.
Yeah. And you're learning things about, you know, I never even heard of Jovert, and now I want to go read about it. You know what I mean? The festival,
exactly.
The actual festival, and see the movie. So, all right, cool. And then after that, you have a block called The District. I assume all about DC type stories.
Yes, exactly. And so all of these stories are going to revolve around DC. And so, you know, we have one, Young, Gifted, and Black. This is from Nia Barge, and basically it's kind of looking at cannabis and selling it within the district. Miss Alma Thomas, A Life in Color. This is directed by Sherry Gulk and produced by John Gann, our friend.
DC Shorts. Well, he founded it, not there anymore. But now running the Union Market Drive-In.
Yes, exactly. And this is a fantastic documentary on a woman who really didn't become famous for her artwork until like the last 10 years of her life. And specifically, the Obamas brought some of her work into the White House. And I think from there is kind of her, you know, appreciation took off, if you will. So it's a lot of great DC stories that really will highlight the district.
And isn't Alfre Woodard, doesn't she narrate it or something?
She does. You may have heard of this film.
Yeah, John might have mentioned it to me. Awesome. And then after that, we have a really cool block that, you know, maybe people could come out for some date nights or date afternoons since it's 3:25. But Black love stories. What do we got?
Yeah, so it's interesting because it's Black love, the good, the bad, and the beyond. So we have some stories that are dealing with, you know, maybe life after and the love that you you had that may have passed on. Mm-hmm. There's one called Jack on the Come Up by Jean Graham, which I think is just this fascinating kind of slice of life look at a recently widowed woman and just like what life looks like for her as she goes around. And I believe it's in New York, and all these different spots that she used to go to and frequent with her husband look a lot differently now. I think it's a really beautiful and intimate look at what that might look like. And then there's one that's kind of funny, Plan LMNOP. And this is just two couples right after, you know, having a little fun wrestling in the sheets, if you will. they're worried that something might have broken, and so they have this discussion
where the rubber meets the road in this story.
Yeah. Oh man, dude, like I know you haven't seen the movie, but you know the fact that the rubber break is really funny that you use that.
That was intentional. I read the plot summary.
okay. But no, I think people will find it really funny. But what I love about it is there's a lot of humor, but there's truth that can be painful. But with, you know, the spoonful of sugar of humor, it makes it really funny. I think it's just a beautiful job that can really feel kind of real. So, you know, that's our Black love film block.
Cool. That sounds like some rom-coms or sex, you know, lighter themes, but like some heavy stuff as well. Some love transcending time, transcending life and death, and, you know, eternal love. There's a lot of, it seems like it covers a lot in that block.
Yep.
All right. And then after that, we have Drama for Your Mama. That's the block that starts at 5:55 p.m. What do we got in there?
Yeah, so, you know, if you're a fan of drama and dramatic stories, then definitely want to check that one out. I want to kind of highlight, there's one called New Santa, and it's actually funny, but at the same time, it kind of deals with, you know, diversity and inclusion, right? And so basically, I think one thing, Jason, that, like, you know, there's a pendulum swing that we see a lot in life, and you can go so far to one side and then to the other. And in this, you know, basically the North Pole has this diversity and inclusion. And so we get a Black Santa, and, you know, this Black Santa is talking to this, white woman who all, you know, she's been feeding Santa cookies all these years. And then she shows up and she's like, what are you doing here? So they have a conversation, and it's really funny, but I think it's like a really cool way to talk about diversity and inclusion and kind of where we are with that, you know, just in our world right now. Another one that I would definitely suggest within that block is Something in the Clouds. This is from Josh Takema and Johnny Ray. And basically, it's a beautiful look at a story of a young man who his father passes away a little bit early, but the lessons that his father has given him in life help him as he witnesses a young girl getting kidnapped. And so he chases after the kidnapper, and you'll have to see what happens. But it's really a beautiful way that they brought in these different life lessons as we're following this main story of the kidnapping.
Awesome. That sounds riveting. All right, cool. And that brings us to the end of the final night. There's you have the award ceremony at 8 o'clock where you're going to hand out the prizes. But then the whole thing wraps at 8:40 with Borga. Am I saying that right? Feature film?
Yeah, you got that right. So, we'll have our award ceremony. You can find out who won. And then Borga is basically a film that takes place in Ghana, and there's two brothers. One is kind of the older brother. He's supposed to kind of take after the dad. The younger brother doesn't really get paid too much attention, and so one day this younger brother meets what's called a Borga, and he's becomes fascinated and tries to become one himself.
So what is a Borga? It's from Germany, but what's a Borga?
So a Borga is a successful Ghanaian that's living abroad, and their life just seems like opulence. But for this particular character, the price that he has to pay to become a Borga is what's really interesting, both with his family and in terms of becoming successful. So we end it internationally with Borga, so it should be a good time.
Nice. And I assume Borga is still eligible for the awards, even though it's after the award ceremony. Sorry, yeah. You screened after. We already gave out the award.
Most definitely. So it's going to be really exciting. And then, of course, there's some folks don't want to get back into the theater. Some people can't make it to Washington, D.C. So starting on the 21st, we'll have our virtual showcase. And what's awesome is that you can be a part of the audience award via the virtual showcase. There's a ballot and you can select which film you think is the best. So whether you can come visit us in person or do it online, please support the DC Black Film Festival. We look forward to seeing you online or in person.
Awesome. And I know it's given us the go home in 4 minutes on Zoom, but real quick, remind everybody, I don't know if you have the stats at your fingertips, but like how many submissions you got this year. Do you have any of that stuff?
Yeah, so there were over 240 submissions this year, which is actually nice because coming back from COVID, it's finally trending back upwards. And we're going to be screening 55 films. So, it was definitely difficult this year. There's so many good films that were submitted, and unfortunately, we can't take them all. However, I think the lineup that we have this year is amazing.
And also we should mention in terms of the submissions, the criteria of, above the line, below the line, the mission statement basically of the fest.
Yeah, so I think the great thing about the DC Black Film Festival is that it is inclusive. So the only stipulation is that one or more of the above the line cast or crew needs to be of African descent. So basically, we're just ensuring that, hey, someone that works on this film in a decision-making role is of African descent. So that's really easy to do. It's the director, or maybe it's the main character, or maybe it's the producer. So many times we get these different films and I have to reach out to the filmmaker and say, how does this, and it was like the producer or the screenwriter. So we're really excited about the diversity that we're able to have each year with the festival.
Awesome. Well, again, it is the DC Black Film Festival back for its sixth year, going strong. Again, it's August 18th through the 20th at the Miracle Theater over in Barracks Row, right off the, Eastern Market Metro stop.
Please check us out at dcbff.org. You can find the schedule there, get your tickets. We just can't wait for this, and we can't really wait to celebrate Story and finally being in person for the first time after a 2-year hiatus virtually. So this will be really, really fun.
Awesome. Well, thanks again. It's always a blast catching up with you, man.
Always a blast, Jason. Thank you so much. I'll see you at the movies.